Good morning, and thank you for tuning in on KBUR News Radio, 99.3 FM and 1490 AM from First Christian Church of Burlington, Iowa. This morning, we start in the midst of worship with this week's sermon. We hope that this week's message helps you grow in your faith and share God's love.
What a wonderful way to center ourselves on why we are all here as we enter into a time of prayer. Let us pray together. Eternal God, we come to you during this season of hope. As we continue into our second week of Advent, we pray that we would be teachable. Make us moldable. Make us open to change. Make us hunger for your word, which is eternal. Renew us as people who are able to give up destructive ways that we so often allow to run our lives. God, make this a season of time of quiet reworking of our own souls. Shake us up a little bit. Renew our values. Help us to commit our energies into making this world a place where there is greater justice for all people. Help us commit our energy, our effort into making this world a place where all people have a safe place to live. Help us commit to making the world a place where all people have enough food and adequate nutrition. Help us to create a world where there is less cause for resentment, where there is less of a division between those who have and those who have not. Lord, may the power of Jesus be born in us again. Rekindle that power in those who have grown weary. Restore hope to those whose present or past lives have become a burden. Renew within us the vision and excitement of lives which are motivated, have a sense of vision, and which are directed toward your noble purpose. You come, gentle Jesus, to a world of broken people. Come again to us and transform us as you did those who experienced your touch and your grace in the flesh. May we be open to some new truth that would excite us. May the possibility of new skills or new behaviors look achievable to us, and may your vision make a new vision in us. We pray for those today who need your special touch. We pray for those who are ill. We pray for those for whom this season can cause sadness or depression. Lord, we lift up those on our prayer list. You know each and every one and each of their needs. We pray for those whose lives are forever compromised by their body's frailty and who will never fully be active again. Lord, give them your strength. Be with all who suffer. Be with the lonely, with refugees, with those who are displaced. May they all be touched by your compassionate love. We pray for our world, a world that seems confused. It seems in constant strife, filled with passion and rage and uncertainty. Lord, we pray that you would hold this world in your compassionate embrace. Enable us as one whole people to care for one another and to see those who are different from us less as threats or as enemies, but more as loving children of yours. Lord, may a new world be born. God, we've asked you for much today, much that would seem and probably be impossible for any of us to accomplish. But for you, this is possible. We hold our hope in your heavenly peace. We pray that you would rain your peace upon the earth. We thank you for the gift of your Son, in whose name we pray today and whose prayer we pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Today we turn to God's word, to the book of Matthew. We're going to be reading from chapter 3, starting in verse 1. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him, and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor,' for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear the threshing floor, and he will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire."
We're continuing here today with our Advent sermon series called A Tangible Hope. Though the season of Advent and the one leading up to Christmas is full of feelings that are soft and warm and cozy and fuzzy, this is also a season of some real and tangible things that we can put our fingers on, that we can touch and see and do, not only in that newborn baby born at the very end of the story in a manger in Bethlehem, not only in the gifts that those wise men brought, not only in the gifts that we give to our loved ones and our family and friends today, but also things that we can do and see as people of faith. And so in this season of Advent, this is how we are marking our way along this journey toward Christmas. Not only with candles and colors and like feeling all the feels, but putting our fingers upon things that we can do to grow in our own faith as we get ready to celebrate the birth of Christ together as a church. So that's what we're going over these few weeks leading up to Christmas. Now, if you were here a couple of weeks ago, then maybe you remember that our band leader, Diane DeJanes, talked about some rather interesting figures and interesting people that God used back in the Old Testament days. Back in the Old Testament, God's main method of getting the Word of God across was to use people. God showed up in all kinds of ways, but God worked and acted and spoke through people. Prophets is what they were called back in the Old Testament days. And if you actually read the Bible, you see that God used some crazy, crazy, nutty people to be his messengers. And so if you're here, then maybe you remember that Diane mentioned the prophet Isaiah, who when he was preaching and teaching and doing his best to make people change in their ways, the prophet Isaiah, he actually decided it was like the very best way to get his message across by walking around naked for 3 years teaching and preaching. It's in the Bible. You can read it. She mentioned that Jeremiah, whenever he was called to go and teach and preach and share the word of God, he decided that he was going to take off his undergarments and hide them under a rock. And then in Jeremiah 13, he decides to go and find those underwear again and start wearing them again and use that to now go to share the word of God. But that's not all, because God called Moses to lead his people out of slavery. But Moses, turns out, was a big chicken. He wanted no part of going to preach and teach. He tried to do everything he could to get out of what God was calling him to do. And not only that, God called David, not only to lead, but to be king. And throughout all the Old Testament, we see that David had tons of issues. He made mistake after mistake, massive moral issues David had. Like, think back in your old days and like your high school yearbook. If you were like, make a list of like the most likely to succeed, the most likely kind of people that God would use to be his messengers, these people would not be it. But God used them anyway. And God used them anyway. And so with that in mind, John the Baptist shows up before us today. And in reading his story, you can picture what he must have been like. The gospel writer Matthew says that John found himself out in the middle of nowhere, out in the wilderness, and John the Baptist wore this coat made of camel's hair, which you can just imagine living in the wilderness and living in the desert where it is hot and like, and you can only imagine how smelly his camel's hair coat was back in his days. His hair was probably long and stringy, and like aside from those times that he stepped into the Jordan River to baptize people, you can just imagine how dirty and dusty he would have been. John the Baptist was Middle Eastern, and so you can picture his olive-colored skin that was tanned and dark and worn down by being out in the sun for years. You can almost picture in your mind's eye what John the Baptist was like. And so in the story, John the Baptist goes everywhere he can telling people that they should repent. Repent! You can almost hear him yelling from like the top of his lungs, like he is some kind of preacher standing downtown on like some street corner with like a bullhorn in hand. You can almost picture him like the prophet Isaiah or Jeremiah yelling at people to repent. If he were around today, we would call the police on John the Baptist on a street corner downtown. Come and check out this dude. He is nuts, we would say. But here he is shouting at people, telling them to repent and get ready. He's even quoting from the prophet Isaiah, to be exact. Prepare the way of the Lord, he says. But instead of just shouting like some crazy person, the Gospels say that John the Baptist is here for a purpose. He's calling people to, in fact, realign their lives with the ways of God, calling us to make sure that we are ready, he says. Because he's just the messenger. The one who will come after him, he says, is even better than I am. Jesus Christ is coming. He will be God in the flesh, God in body and blood and bones. And so John is calling people, making sure that they are ready for the Prince of Peace to be born in our lives. You can just picture John the Baptist shouting for us to prepare, calling for us to get ready. We even heard part of this theme last Sunday from Jesus himself, calling us to prepare to be ready because he said you don't know when the Son of God is going to come. And so this theme is picked up again here today. And we hear that and we know it. But to be honest, we all have our own level of what it means to be prepared. I mean, some of us are the kind of people who whenever we are preparing and like planning for a vacation, we are the post-it note, spreadsheet, data point kind of preparers. We have times and we have schedules and we know that by 7:45 a.m. everybody in the house will be woken up. And we're going to have breakfast by 8:22 a.m. And we are going to leave and like get in the car by 9:07. No later, not like 9:08, 9:07. We're going to get in the car and we're going to go. We have everything prepared and checked. We have our checklist and like our tick boxes where everyone will have like the required amount of fun so that every day can be a success. That is how some of us prepare. But then others of us, we know whenever we hear the word prepare and like we're supposed to get ready, our version includes grabbing a duffel bag out of the closet, taking like a handful of clothes out of our drawer, maybe like the clothes that have been like on the chair in the corner for like 6 months, and jamming them all in like said duffel bag and closing it up. That for us is prepare. That's as good as it gets. And so neither one is better or worse. It's just different levels, right, of what it means to be prepared. But don't we know that we can be as prepared as we want and have everything laid out and all together, all of our checklists and post-it notes and all of our itineraries, we can like check it and make sure it's all ready. We can hear John the Baptist calling us to actually realign our lives with the ways of God. And we can be all ready in our life at home and our life of faith. and still have things go wrong. All of our plans, all of our research, all of our work can still at times make us feel unprepared. A number of years ago, I officiated at this wedding at my former church up in Illinois, like up near the Quad Cities. And the wedding was on the first Saturday in December. And it was a gorgeous wedding. It was like a beautiful day, like all leading up to that, like the bride and the groom had done all of their planning. The church sanctuary was decorated on that day, just like ours is here today. There was a big tree right in the center of the sanctuary. There was candles and garland and like lights and wreaths and all the colors of the wedding party reflected the Christmas season. So it was beautiful. It was beautiful to see. They even had their big reception hall all decorated and like this big massive dinner planned for all of their friends and family. And like it too reflected Advent and Christmas and all the colors and all the garland. And so they were prepared. They were the kind of folks that even had their own spreadsheet, like the bride's going to be here and the groom is there at like this time. And like if they were running late and they told somebody about it, like they had it all down. But what they could not prepare for was the massive ice storm that took place on their wedding day. It was literally raining ice so hard that in the middle of the wedding, whenever we were about to get to the vows, the power went out in the whole church all over town. They had not prepared for the ice storm. It was not on their spreadsheet like line A75. That was not written down, the ice storm. And the power goes out. But that happens, right? I mean, the unexpected happens. When all of our best laid plans fall through. I mean, we can be so ready for that new baby to be born in our lives. We can follow all the steps. We can memorize that massive book, What to Expect, whenever you are expecting. We will have bought all the things, purchased everything that there is to purchase. But we're never quite ready when that new baby comes home and has 104 temperature all night long and we don't know what to do. The book doesn't talk about that. We can plan and have the best wedding ever, the most Facebook and Instagram worthy wedding in the world, but and have all the best pictures you can ever even imagine. But all those pictures and all that planning doesn't help us. Our marriage gets strained. Communication falls short and stops. And things begin to be in doubt. We can plan and plan for retirement. Like we can work all of our days and save and wish and hope for a day when we can stop and relax and not have to go to work ever again. But we're not quite sure when that first day comes and the alarm doesn't go off and there's no place to go, no job to clock into. Nobody's counting on us to be there. And so on that first day and in those first few weeks and months, we're left with this kind of feeling of being unwanted and we're not needed anymore. I mean, we can hear John the Baptist. We can prepare all we want. We can have all the post-it notes and all the spreadsheets and all the checklists. I mean, our faith can be strong. We can come to all the worship services that there are, read all the chapters, memorize all the verses in the Bibles, even say all the prayers that we know. But there are times when it still feels like our faith fails us. In those times when what we are sure will never ever happen does. And those things that we want to don't. There are times when there's this gap in the middle where like the unplanned occurs, where the bad news shows up. There's this gap. But don't we remember? I mean, don't we remember the story of our faith, how when Mary and Joseph did all the planning, They did everything they could. They followed all the rules to make their way from Nazareth down to Bethlehem. Mary is great with child, the story says. They had done everything. Don't we remember how they had their own ideas of how Jesus Christ was going to be born? And when they make their way only to find no room in the inn. No Sheraton, Holiday Inn, Best Western, Tom Bodette with like the light is turned off, Hampton, Ritz-Carlton, Four Seasons, there's no room for them. And he's born in a stable. In a barn of all things. Because though they had plans, there was no room. We've heard the story of Isaiah and Jeremiah and Moses and David. I mean, we've even heard the story of Sarah and Rachel and Leah and everybody else in the Bible who had all their plans, who were set in their ways and ready to go, only to find themselves completely unprepared. There's that gap from our spreadsheet to life, from our hope to reality, where sometimes the best things occur, but sometimes the worst. But the good news of the gospel is that in that gap, that's where grace lives. Because God knows. Because Jesus knows, because he's been there. Because he was born in a manger of all places, where this Prince of Peace and this hope of our lives was born. And that's the good news, because in those moments and like in that space, whenever our plans fail and the power goes out in the middle of our wedding and the doctor's office calls back with like the worst news ever, that is where grace lives. And it's in those moments that God does his best work. Because you can picture John, this camel's hair coat and his wild honey, telling us to prepare and do all the work and plan all the things. We can make our faith as strong as can be, but we can't forget to trust God. Because on those days when our plans fall and everything seems to fall apart, the good news is that God is there. Let's pray. Oh, loving God, from the silence and quiet of this place, we offer our lives to you. We do our very best, oh God, to take the message of the scriptures and to make plans and to work on our faith and to be as ready as we can. And so for that help, O God, we give you thanks. We know, O God, that your presence is with us in that gap when there is nothing to say but sit in the silence and we don't know what to do or where to turn. That even then, you are there. Help us, O God, to realign our lives with you, to follow you with all that we have. For we know that you are the one who came to show us the way. And we know that through Christ, your presence lives and reigns here in our midst now. For that assurance, we give you thanks. In Christ. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's message of hope from First Christian Church Disciples of Christ here in Burlington, Iowa. We are located at 1221 Park Avenue on the south side of town, in between the airport and Dankwart Park. If you're looking for a church home or looking to find a relationship with Jesus Christ for the first time, we hope that you will join us for worship this Sunday morning. We have two services every week. Our traditional service is at 8:45 a.m. and features old-time favorite hymns and a wonderful anthem by our chancel choir. Our contemporary service is at 10:45 and features our amazing band and music that you hear from today's Christian radio. Both services offer a hope-filled and challenging message for today, activities for youth and children of all ages, and open communion for all who believe in Christ. There is no better way than to begin your week with worship, so I hope you will join us. You can find out more information by going to our website at www.burlingtondoc.org, and you can like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram and Twitter at @BurlingtonDOC. We hope you have a great week and share the love of God with someone today.